Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcaster named Sean Allen.
ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast.
ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast.
ASAP, hit that follow button wherever you listen to podcasts. And Spotify and Apple listeners, please rate 5 stars and write a review. I have singer, actor, producer. Why don't you fill in the blanks? Because I got you list down as fucking reality star, fucking dancer, actor, singer, producer, writer. What else do you do, Valentine?
Adjunct college professor, and also I'm a senior human resources executive.
Are you really a college professor?
Yes. It's been five and a half years now.
I did not know that. Yeah. Wow.
Dude, I got class tonight. I mean, tomorrow night.
can we talk about where at?
No, I don't tell people where I work because I don't want people to show up. I mean, not for nothing at this point. The students, definitely, I'm almost certain when I walk into class, people will approach me and say, oh, my God, Professor Valentine. Oh, my God, I've seen y'all. Is that you on TV? I know. Oh, my God.
Is that embarrassing?
No, because, I mean, they've recognized me from other. Oh, Professor Valentine, I saw the interview you had with Jennifer Lewis. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Actually, it kind of throws me off because I'm not in that mind state when I'm at school. You know, I'm a professor. So when somebody approaches me about something other than school, it does kind of throw me off just a little.
Right.
But because it kind of makes me remember like, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I did do that. But yeah. Nah.
For 5 years. I did not know that. And I've known you for how long?
Bro. Oh, my God. I think eight. Six, seven, something like that.
See, I
met you before. I met you before I started teaching because I had produced the first season of C Square, which you were a part of,
right
before, like I think a year before I started teaching.
Wow.
So,
Wow. I did not know you were an educator. So you got a list of things you do. So if I need a job or career change, are you Jamaican?
No, I'm African American 100%.
I mean, you from Brooklyn, so
yeah, Brooklyn.
We know how it goes down in Brooklyn. But Valentine, man, thank you for tapping in on ASAP. First time on a pod, man. Have you ever been on a pod before?
No, not audio only pod. It's been audio visual. Okay. So this is my first time. I actually like it. It's cool, like doing radio, huh?
I mean, we up here fixing it up and about to switch things around. But thank you for tapping in, man. It's been a long time.
Anytime.
Basically, I know you're from Brooklyn. How, so this has been a recurring theme on this podcast, LA versus New York, LA natives, LA transplants. What do you think about LA? You've been here for how long?
Oh, my God, about nine, almost 10 years now.
So. Do you like it?
Okay, so I have a double-edged sword kind of answer when it comes to that question. I think career-wise for me, it has done wonders.
Right.
Socially and culturally, I'm not interested. I do not get involved at all. I do not get involved. I'm serious. I don't. I focus on working out and my career. That's literally all I do in Los Angeles, California.
Right.
I very rarely do social unless it's like close friends, but that's even far and in between.
Has it always been like that?
Yes. Actually, yes. I've never been a big going out person, even when I was younger. Right. When I, in high school, oh, please, my friends would go out. I only remember one time I hung out late and came out, like, came home, back home, 1, 2 in the morning. No, it wasn't 2. I think, no, 6 in the morning from Demerara. I even remember the club because that was the one time I went out when I was in high school with my friends, and I stayed out to the wee hours of the morning. But I've just never been that type of person. When I went to school in Atlanta, and I was at Clark Atlanta University, we went to Trax. Trax was the gay club out there, and it was so close to the campus, we used to walk. Wow. You know, or they actually, I would get in the car and drive with my friends, and then I would get tired and be like, okay, I'll see y'all later. And I would walk back to the campus and leave the brother club. Cause I'm just like, I'm over it now, you know.
But okay, so your social culture that you adapted or environment that you've been in has nothing to do with LA. It's you.
Yeah, it's just me.
Okay. Okay. About to say, I'm not about to let you bash the land on Crenshaw and MLK. Do you ever come to this part of town?
Yeah, actually, down the street, I was 2 blocks down is where we film a podcast that I created about 2.5 years ago. We are now going into our third season. It's called Comedic Minds.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm, yeah, so I actually co-host with another up-and-coming comedian. She's really talented. Her name is Ivana. She goes by Mae Stone on Instagram. I don't know where that came from, but that's her thing. She's beautiful, though. She's beautiful. She's really intelligent and really funny.
I'm thinking that you're one of these transplants that come to LA and just stay in one area. You know, but you've been to South, you've got a show down here, South Central, so.
Yeah. But I'm not a wanderer around. Usually I'm somewhere because my business took me there.
Right.
Like something about work or working out or, you know, took me there. To be honest, when I first came here, I was signed to a group called the Peacemakers. Under Sly Jordan, who was with Aftermath. And they relocated me here. That's how I got to California. And I was in a house off Sherman Way with another songwriter and producer. And that's where we were. I didn't know anything about, learn anything really extra about Los Angeles during my time there because, you know, we had a car or service. It took us back and forth to the studio.
Oh, y'all was doing it like that.
Well, they were. Like, I received my payment. I was part of the group, you know, as a writer, you know, and I loved my time there. But I really didn't explore and learn more about Los Angeles until after I left and I moved to Koreatown. And I met my very first boyfriend and who ended up moving in with me. And he's actually from North Carolina, South Carolina, but he'd been for years and he was a model. And he had a billboard up because he's an actual working model all around the city when I met him. And he's the one who literally, truly introduced me to L.A. Like, everywhere we went, it was because he knew these places. So I pretty much just with him.
Wow. Are you still in Koreatown?
I am, yes. I don't think I want to leave. When I actually, I do plan on maybe leaving when I purchase a home. But, you know, I got to wait and see about that, you know, about where I'm going to buy this house.
You're right in the heart of L.A. too. So it's easy to get in and out of Koreatown. I hate when people come to L.A. and they get a hotel at the airport. They ask me, they were like, what part of L.A. should I get a hotel at? I'm like, Koreatown is probably the most central.
So that is why I moved to Koreatown. Yeah. Again, I didn't know anything about L.A. I'm telling you, I was in a serious bubble when I first came and I was working with those guys. It was another friend of mine who lived here.
Right.
He told me, you should move to Koreatown. And he helped me find the apartment. And he told me at the time I didn't have a car. And he said, here you'll be able to get anywhere. And transportation is right down the street.
Right.
So, yeah. But then when I got a car, it was horrible. No parking.
Yeah, it's tough. LA's parking. You got to do at least 2-3 laps to come into my house, especially where I live at. And it's never no street parking.
Mm-hmm. Please, I remember being in grad school and coming home. I would work. Then I would go to school and grad school. And I would come home like 11 o'clock at night. Can't find a parking spot, and I would just park by a hydrant and sleep in the car till about 5 in the morning when people start moving because they're going to work. Then I would move the car, park in a spot, go in the house, take a shower, get myself together to go back to work.
Wow, paying all that rent and to sleep in the car. Right.
Okay.
Biggie or Pac?
Biggie.
Why? Biggie only got like 20 songs.
I really don't care. he made more of an impact on me. I mean, I'm from New York, from Brooklyn. His language was my language. You know, it's like you love languages. Like, I'm sure Tupac's touched a special place in people's hearts here in Los Angeles because the twang in his voice and the swag in his step. You know what I'm saying? And the way he moved when he delivered his lyrics when you were watching the videos. So Biggie did the same thing for me, you know. And then on top of it, of course, you add the whole, oh, he repping Brooklyn, you know. You know, so, you know, he was just a little bit more impactful. Who do I think was globally more impactful? Tupac. Okay. You know, hello, Tupac had more of a legacy. Coming his mother and being a part of the Black Panther movement.
Right.
Being a part of, I mean, not for nothing, gang life. And what was it, the Crips, Bloods, or whatever? I forgot the name of his group. But at any rate, they're very impactful in the world. You know, maybe started out negatively or however you want to look at it. It's impactful.
Right.
You know, and also movies. You know, he got an opportunity being in a city in Los Angeles where I really believe the artists out here know the power of the television and the image. And they make great use of it, you know.
Yeah, that's interesting. You said that. I was talking about earlier, a previous podcast, how the argument was Bad Boy made better music than Death Row. But my argument back was like, where are the Bad Boy artists and where are the Death Row artists? Yeah. Snoop is a household name.
Yeah.
Ice Cube is a household name. Dr. Dre, you know what I mean? And his argument was like, well, look where they're at. Look where they came from. They knew how to take use of
marketing.
Right.
They knew the value of marketing and the power of the right. image. Like they know it. They knew it more intimately because they are here in the epicenter.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And people had more greater access to them, you know, that were in those wheelhouses to reach out to them.
So you're riding with Pac, okay? I'm joking. You're riding with Big.
I like him too, but, you know, I can't recite any of his rhymes. I don't know.
You can. If something came on, you go.
Oh, maybe a part here or there, but I don't need something to come on to recite something of Biggie's.
Compromise or sacrifice or rules and boundaries.
Ooh, I'm a big proponent of both. Oh my God.
You got to pick one. Compromise and sacrifice or rules and boundaries.
I pick compromise and sacrifice. I feel.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, I would never make it anywhere if I'm not willing to compromise and make sacrifices. And that's not just only in my love life, but my professional life. I'm always sacrificing and taking chances. It's like, you know, I produced the C-Square talk show, but what you didn't know is I was struggling. I didn't pay rent so I could pay a lot of the production bills. And then I had found out post-production is an even bigger monster. You know, like when we doing the editing, it went over the budget. So like, I'm like, begging for more time from the leasing office.
Always go over the budget.
Yeah, so it's like I take chances and I turn around and did it again for the next season, you know? It's like I just believe in making sacrifices and compromises, especially when I'm dealing with talent and I'm dealing with a relationship with someone. So
Right. You fly, you stay fly too, so there's an upkeep of lifestyle, that component that you are.
I never believed in being a starving artist. I'd be damned. That's why I did all I did. And you know what? It's funny. I don't ever think about all the things that I've done until
these moments.
Yes. Yeah. And I talk about it. Or somebody be like, yeah, how did you stay in great shape? How you go to the gym so often? And you did this. And you was going to grad school at the same time. And you was doing a show. I was like, and you was working a full-time job. So I'm like, yeah. Oh, well, I did do all that, didn't I? I didn't think about it. I was just doing it because I know I wanted. I either had to do it or I wanted to do it, and that was just it. It was get it done, you know. So, God, what was your question? The reason why I started talking about that.
And shout out to you too, because as I was telling you privately, the C Square. I didn't tell you this part of it, but being from LA and kind of growing up in the industry or in the business, if you will, family members, cousins, parents, whatever. That C-Square set was probably one of the first sets that I've been on that was independently funded, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That was, like, up to par, like, industry standard. It wasn't, like, ghetto. It was very professional. The set was immaculate and nice. And to hear that you paid for that all out of your pocket,
yeah,
that's wild.
Let me tell you. Okay, so now I remember your... Jeez, I did remember your... previous question, and now I forgot again.
It's all right. It's all good.
Anyway, it was the reason why I brought all that, brought that other stuff up, but we'll get back to that, I'm sure. But I definitely believe in, listen, I work a 9-to-5, okay? I am a senior human resources executive. When I go into these people's organizations and businesses, I also do a lot of consulting. They expect me to show up and perform. You know, I write policies and procedures. I do, you know, I do a lot. And right. So I refuse to apply the same level, that level of excellence for somebody else and not for myself.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to work harder for somebody else and not work as hard as
for the white man.
You crazy. I'm not doing. You know, so right. When I am doing anything I do, no, it needs to be on a certain level, and I'm not playing no games. Now, right. You know, I'm hesitant on using the word saying, oh, not ghetto, because I don't want.
That's very anti-black.
I don't want to, you know, because, I mean, I didn't grow up in the real, you know, bad, really, really bad parts of Brooklyn.
Right.
Thank God. Thanks to my parents being such hard workers and really making sure that, you know, I wasn't exposed or lived in that type of environment. But I know what it's like, you know, and I'm like, I think the soul and the spirit of it is amazing,
right.
But and you can keep that and still elevate your surroundings and the way you operate. So, for example, on that set, I'm how I am now. That's the same way I was on set. You know what I'm saying? I talk to you just like I'm talking to you now,
right.
And I keep that. I don't have to change my vernacular to be so. You know, like no, I don't have to be whitewashed. I'm gonna be me. I'm from Brooklyn.
Code switching.
Yes. There you go. It's called code switching. Correct. And my thing is, I'm going to be me. I'm going to be the soul and heart of who I am. I am a black man from Brooklyn, New York. You know, I went to school, Clark Atlanta University, so on, so on, so forth. But I know excellence, and I know how things should be, and I expect the same from the people who I surround myself with
right.
When I'm doing these projects. Now, do we eat, you know, soul food and do all the things and laugh and joke and be talking about? Yes. But when we do in our work, it's right.
Right.
Like, our work, we don't play.
Right.
You know, so...
Say,
I don't
say New York.
New York.
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 It's that way.
New York.
Say it my way.
And how do you say it?
New York.
New York.
You said it the right way that time.
I did.
You say New York.
Oh, I don't know this. I guess I still have. You know, when I talk to my little brother, sometimes I'm like, what the fuck he saying? Because he's still in Brooklyn, yeah. You know, so he uses, I mean, he's much younger than me, so he uses slang I never heard, and his accent is so thick that I hear it when I talk to him on the phone. Like, I'm like, oh, my God. Like,
I didn't even know people in New York still had accents.
Well, I didn't know I had an accent until.
Until you came here.
Yeah, then I'm like, oh, I guess
it's funny, I got a homie out there. He younger than me. I mean, he probably 10 years younger. He had an old school, like, 90s New York accent. I did not know niggas still talk like that out there. Because New York is so, it changed so much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The influences and the people moving in. In front of the camera or behind the camera?
Behind the camera. Let me tell you something. For the longest, okay, I have been told, oh, you need to be in front of the camera. You need to be doing this. You need to be doing it. Even when I was in school in Atlanta, a good friend of mine, her name is... Tamika Stewart, she went by the name of Honey Brown. She's a dope singer-songwriter. She's well-known in Atlanta. And she will always tell me, you need to be in front of the camera. Even to this day, we still friends to this day after all these years. You need to be in front of the camera. You need to be in front of the camera. And even my best friends say the same thing. So now that I'm on 90 Day Fiancé, Love and Power, they say, like, I told you. Like, oh, my God, you know. But I'm like, you know, thank you, but I feel like I love more discovering talent and cultivating and putting someone else in front of the camera and creating the vehicle that drives that, you know, like producing, executive producing, you know, creating. Like, I prefer. Now, will I get in front of the camera? Yes. But that's extra work.
Right.
Like, I'm like, you know, I'm like, I just literally want to hunch in my seat. You know, like, I don't want to have to sit up straight. Oh, my God, now I can't curse. Remember, don't curse. Like, I don't want to do that. I just want to be free. You know, so I'm like, I don't really want to be, you know. So every opportunity I can to kind of, like, do a handoff, you know, like, if I have to be in something, hosting something, I will, like, the first thing I'll introduce to, oh, I should have a co-host. Because in my mind is, I'm not staying here. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to get a co-host so that I could eventually not be here that often to where I'm not here at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just so I could really build behind the scenes. I have a production company, Valentine Entertainment, Inc., you know, and I have several projects that I think are freaking amazing, and they need attention to grow. You know, I want to build up my company. So
I cannot tell that you do not like to be in front of the camera.
It's just extra. It's extra. I mean, I don't care. I'm comfortable. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, I I'm sitting in behind the camera. I'm talking, right?
Right.
And literally as I'm talking, I cannot stop but looking around me and being like, they need to fix that. But I can't say that because the camera's on me. I'm like, so-and-so, get over there. Like in my mind, my mind is thinking as I'm talking, I'm like, oh my God, is somebody going to do that? Like somebody probably should go get the next act, you know, because after the next segment. I mean, I know I have people to do that, but my mind works that way. I'm thinking about the two segments ahead, you know, and who's coming. Are they okay? Are they making sure did somebody go talk to them or they just sitting out there? You know what I'm saying? Right. In the lobby. Like, no, talk to them. Ask them if they need some food or something to drink. Like, my mind goes like that,
right,
you know?
Right, right.
Because that's how I run my set.
Yo, since I got your attention, if you haven't, make sure you follow the spot wherever you listen to podcasts and Apple and Spotify listeners. Don't forget to rate and write a review. You only can pick one, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
I'll try.
Love song or popular?
Love song.
Love song?
Oh, you named two of my songs. Love song or popular? I pick love song. You know, popular is a song that I wrote both of those songs.
Right.
And produced the music for both. And I'm singing both of them. They're actually on the EP that I have out now that's available on all streaming platforms. Just look for Dewan Valentine. Yes.
Tell me about love song. You know what? So listening to love song, I'm like, it sounds like some Jodeci inspired influence.
Really? This is so soft. This is the softest song I have ever done. Like the calmest.
Right.
Because I'm more about, you know, doing something more, raising my voice. Because I have I'm a first tenor. So right. Singing this low is actually, this was a challenge recording. Because I have to, and then my personality also was kind of excitable.
Right.
So to actually sit this, it was hard to sing that song. But yeah.
It's one of my favorites from the EP. But tell us about Love Song.
Love Song was basically, I am a person that's always in my feelings.
Always
especially
looking for
when
love.
It comes to love, yes, and I it's just literally about saying, hey, let's make a love song, just me and you, no matter, you know, what your friends say. Like, I think the song starts off saying, they don't approve my friends when I tell them about you, but I don't care.
Oh, you're good.
I tell them just what I'm gonna do, it's obvious to me, you know. So it's just, it literally just, but I wanted to make sure it wasn't so much like singing as whispering into my significant other's ear. You know what I'm saying? They don't approve my friend. Like a love song, like a lullaby when going to sleep. You know what I'm saying? That's how I was envisioning the song.
So is that your favorite from the EP because this is the
No. Best? Oh, sorry.
Wait, what's your favorite from EP?
Adore You.
Okay.
Adore You is my favorite. I think only because Adore You, I don't. Okay, so Adore You, I dedicated it to someone special. So, you know, I think that's why Adore You is one of my favorite on the EP. It's another slow song, but it's a little bit more up-tempo than Love Song, and I don't sing as softly.
What about this song?
She looking real sleek. Right down to
so her. I pick my two favorites.
Oh, popular is your favorite?
I don't know how you feel about them.
I wrote them. I like them all. At one point or another, they all were my favorites, and I moved on to the next. Oh, that's my favorite. She looking real sleek. Right? See how it just, I like to play with my voice because I'm a songwriter
right.
First. And one of the skills I picked up when I started songwriting was producing vocals.
Right.
And when you write for different artists, you have to produce the vocals differently. So when I got really good at that, I started to apply it to myself. And I was like, every song don't have to sound the same. I can play with my voice, you know? And so I do that, like, as much as I can. So, like, the girl that cuts my hair, she was doing my hair, giving me a hair because she was doing designs in the back.
Right.
And she said, Alexa, play songs by DeJuan Valentine. And, you know, my song started playing. And when she heard Popular before, Popular actually has a music video that's out now. You can check it out. It's on YouTube. Just search DeJuan Valentine, Popular. And then Love Song came on. And she was like, that's you? And I was like, yeah. She was like, that don't sound nothing like you.
I think that's why I took to that, because
really?
It had a familiar sound. And the vocal wasn't the same as the other vocals on the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was a classic R&B. And R&B has taken a major hit lately.
I've
been paying attention.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, this adds to what we are saying R&B is missing.
Yeah. I have a feeling, I think that should the song get an opportunity to actually be heard, meaning it's aired or played on radio, I think it will take, because it's something that sticks with you and anybody can sing it. Love song, let's make a love song, love song, you know? And it's not pretentious, ain't nobody hollering and screaming, you know what I'm saying? But it's soft and it's just catchy and it's a vibe.
It does have I say this on here too quite a few times, but Adele could really sing, we know that, mm-hmm. but her songs have a sing-along element mm-hmm. to it. That's why I think that's why it does so well. Her songs are easy for anyone to sing. Mm-hmm. Love Song has that element. Mm-hmm. So
thank you.
Were you conscious that. Like when you created?
No.
Oh, so that just happened.
Every song tends to be the same way. I think that's just part of my songwriting style, because I don't intentionally do it. It's just when that's just the end result. And I have female songs that, you know, songs with I've written for females, and they are demoed songs, like right. in my catalog, with the same thing going on. Like you could sing along, like they're catchy, these hooks. So
is that tough though? Like listening to the radio, watching TV, hearing like music videos or whatever, and then having to go in a lab like later that night and get in the studio and write a song. Does the stuff that you hear influence what you do in the studio?
For me.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Does it seep into your mind and kind of mess you up because you caught on this melody or that melody?
Right, right, right.
No, that never happened for me. Never happens to me. If anything, I would hear something, be like, that's dope. And maybe I want to write something similar. But as far as like their melodies getting stuck in my head and I can't get their melodies out and messing with like any melodies that I might create, that has never happened. It's like, if anything, like, so for example, usually how songs I hear inspire me is usually it's a female song and it makes me want to write an anthem. Like, I got tired of Beyonce's, I loved Beyonce's song, to the left, everything you own in the box, to the left. I loved it. But every time I heard it, I just been like, girl. So I wrote a song called I Can Do Better. And the song goes on, she was a slick operator, a female G.O., I'm straight up. She knew just what to say, then turn and walk away. Ooh, girl, you had me hypnotized. There ain't too many girls like you, baby. And da, 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 da. Then the hook goes, goodbye. I don't really want to give it another try, because I can do better than you. To all the girls around the world, I'm available. Goodbye. I don't really want to give it another try, because I can do better than you. To all the girls around the world, I'm available. You got to hear it, it's dope. When you hear the finished product, it's dope. But, I sang in that song, too.
Did you grow up singing?
Yes and no. So, the reason why I say that.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Because I learned I could sing when I graduated from the fifth grade. Was going from elementary school. I was going to junior high school because I sang at the graduation. But some of the things attached to my singing made me not sing. So I remember when I was in the fifth grade, I was in Catholic school, and the church right across the street, it was called St. Peter Claver in Bedford-Stuyvesant, New York, Brooklyn, New York. Right. And the church right across the street, the Catholic church was big right across the street. And I remember we sang "That's What Friends Are For," and they broke up the parts. Everybody had a part. So I remember we would go to rehearsals, and every time I would sing, this girl, Veronica, I had Stevie Wonder's part, and she came right after me, Veronica, this girl named Veronica. And I remember every time I would sing, the reaction I would get, she would be nasty to me. She had an attitude. I did not know what was going on. I just knew this bitch got an attitude. And then, it was weird to me. I didn't like the feelings I was getting. And then what did it, it's a couple. So at the graduation, I'll never forget, the church was packed. It's a big church. Church is packed. We on the stage and my part come. What's Stevie part? I don't even remember Stevie part anymore. Anyway, I started singing. The whole church screaming, right? And I remember, I never forget, my best friend at the time, Raymond, his parents were sitting in the front row. He was like right in front of me. And Raymond's father did like this. You go, like this, like a gay, like, and that made me feel like, am I letting people know I'm gay?
How old were you?
I was in fifth grade. I knew I was gay, but I didn't tell it. I didn't even know. I mean, I think by then I knew what gay was. I'm not 100%, but I knew I was gay, you know? And I felt like my singing and gay and me knowing I was gay somehow was the same. So I thought that I sounded gay, you know, like when I thought that my singing made people know I was gay. So that made me be like, oh, I'm not singing.
Oh, wow.
And then my parents, my mother, she definitely wasn't encouraging. She didn't care that I sang at all. To this day, she don't ask nothing about me. And it's not that she's hating on it. She just literally does not care. Like, she does not, it doesn't even register to ask.
Does that bother you?
It did for years, but I'm over it now. I'm over it. Like, literally, she'll call me and she'll ask about the things she care about. Like, that matters it to her. Oh, so how was teaching going? She loved the fact that I'm a college professor. She likes the fact that I'm a senior executive in HR, but to her, that's like, the teaching thing is more something that to her, that's substantial. She don't ask, like, that's such a small part. I do that part-time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I do HR, and I do entertainment, and I do all these things, you know, like she didn't even know I got signed to to Peacemakers, and, you know, and moved to California. I didn't tell her nothing about it, because I know she don't care. She's not interested. She don't know. I mean, I'm not mad at her, but that's just how I grew up.
What about your dad?
Oh, that's another story. So I grew up, my mother was married to my stepfather since I was two, so he's not my real father.
Well, he kind of is if he did a great job, right?
Well.
Is that another show?
Yeah, probably. So I would just say that, I mean, he took care of his responsibilities as best as possible, but he was really like my live-in bully. Like he couldn't stand me.
That's another show for another episode on another podcast.
I mean, it wasn't always, he you know, he showed love when he felt like it, but most of the time I was, please, no.
It's kind of deep, kind of dark. Do your mom watch the show? Because you are on Love in Paradise Discovery Plus.
Yes, Love in Paradise, 90 Day Fiancé, Love in Paradise.
Wait. Let me put the brakes on. I want to go back to your EP.
Okay.
You took me off course. So what is your favorite song? Your favorite song on the Valentine EP is Adore.
Adore You, yes. Adore You.
Tell us about that.
So Adore You, I literally just, I wrote that in the bedroom, in my bedroom, just sitting in my bedroom. I'm telling you, I'm a big love person. Like, I'm all in my feelings about love. And,
right.
And I literally just wrote it out, and little did I know that I was, you know, going to want to dedicate this to somebody, you know. I remember when I say it because it's true. So, yeah, man, Adore You. I'm always writing, especially when it comes to love. You know, I write a lot of about overcoming and loving despite all the obstacles and things like that.
Right.
Usually, excuse me, when I write about love. So,
what song you dedicate to Carlos?
He get Adore You. I give him Adore You. Yes, Adore You.
When did you record this EP?
Please. I've been a songwriter forever, so a lot of these songs I just pulled right out of my catalog. Like, because literally I'm literally a person who I finish stuff. If I tell you I did something, I can press play, I can, and it's like as if it was ready to go, you know. Like if you say, oh, I want to see episode of the C-Squid, sure, here you go, press play. You can see a whole episode. They go to commercial, you come back to break. Like, it's literally a real show, not a skeleton of one, not a script. No, it's finished and it's polished. So it's the same thing with my music. I write and I'll produce, or I'll work with a producer. I will sing it or find a singer, produce the vocals, mix it, and I have a finished product ready to go at any given moment. Just to press play, you know, because I feel like most times, especially when I'm unknown, so pretty much, you know, I'm not a big name, so I'm not a Dream or Neo who known for writing all these hits. They could probably walk in somewhere and just say, I wrote a song, and I'll sing it for you right now. And they'd be like, oh, that's dope. Yeah, Neo. If I walk in at Valentine, they'd be like, oh, really? Let me hear it. And I better have the whole idea complete. Otherwise, they're going to be like, you know what? You probably need to go back and work. You know, we don't really get the idea. They can't use their imagination at that point. You know what I'm saying? So I always come 100% correct. And that way, if I get turned away, I know I submitted my best.
That's a good way to look at it. Mm-hmm. Who are the producers that you worked with?
Young guy named Mateo. He lives here in Los Angeles, but he's not from Los Angeles. He's from the South somewhere. I don't want to say, because I might get it wrong, and then he'll be upset. But anyway, his name is Mateo. It's funny, I met him through his mom. So his mom and I used to be colleagues, and she's an HR executive as well. And I just happened to be talking. I was like, oh, I want to, you know, I have a song called Adore You. I want to record it, but I don't want to, I really want to work with somebody instead of producing the music myself. And she was like, well, you know, my son is an up and coming producer. I mean, do you mind talking to him? And I was like, I don't mind. Yeah, of course. He's young, black dude. And literally I had maybe one conversation with him. I had recorded the acapellas in the studio, like how it goes. And I made my little, like the bebop my voice, which he used in the song. And I sent it to him. Maybe a week, 2 weeks later, he sent me two tracks. The first one I played, I was like, oh, that's it. And I didn't even hear the other one. I was like, I don't care. This one is it. I love it. It just hit me. When if I get emotional and I started singing the song, I was like, yes, that's it. So him, Mateo, he's the only one. Everything else I produced and wrote and
wow,
and sang and did it myself.
That's dope.
And I mean, I took it to the, well, I took, I think, three of the songs to engineer them to make to get final mixes on.
Who is that man on the show with you, Jacinta? Not Harold, the other one behind the boards.
Oh, he's an engineer at the studio. Yeah. When oh, so you were referring to on the first episode of Love in Paradise, 90 Day Fiance Love in Paradise, when they introduced myself, they showed me in the studio actually recording Popular. So, yeah.
Jacinta liked that.
Well, yeah. Now, on the show, you know what's funny? I mean, most people have no idea about the recording process. They don't know how, you know, they don't know. You know, so they were like, you hear a lot of, I saw a lot of comments like, what trash is that? Blah, blah, blah. Because all they heard me say, he looking real sleek right down to ass, you know. And I'm thinking, first of all, dumb. I mean, this is me just talking in my house as I'm reading comments. Well, I wouldn't dare respond that way. But in my mind, I was like, first of all, dummy, that's not a singer's song. That's about a vibe. You know what I'm saying? I can sing, but that's a song where you just talk, sing. And number one, that's number two. Number two, you were just hearing me raw standing there saying, she looking real sleek right downtown. You know, you have to hear the finished product. You know what I'm saying? So I was just like, the people are so funny. But
wait, anyway. The show is on YouTube too?
No, the show is on Discovery Plus.
But how are you looking at comments of people?
Twitter. Oh. Twitter, TikTok. Because Discovery and TLC, they post the things on
right,
to.
Right, right.
And 90 Day Fiance has like millions of followers and they post stuff. And let me tell you, this franchise has die hard.
Wait. We're going to save that because we're going to dive into that. Where can we listen to the EP?
Oh, I'm on all streaming platforms. If you search Dejuan, DEJUAN, and Valentine, VALENTINE, I should come up. Or if you have Siri or Alexa, you could say, you know, play songs by Dejuan Valentine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I should come up, you know.
That information will be located in the description of this episode. But let's hop into the elephant in the room. Love and Paradise. I watched the show too. That is on my TV playlist. 90 Day Fiance, all that stuff. Love and Paradise, like background TV, but that's something that I watch, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the stuff is real.
Yeah. Yes.
How do you even get on?
Oh, okay. So I too am a fan of the 90 Day Fiance franchise. I mean, the main, I think, flagship show is 90 Day Fiancé, and then they have all these spinoffs now, which Love in Paradise, the show I'm on, is one of them. And so I've been watching forever. And when Carlos and I met, we met on Instagram.
Right.
And I sent him a little text message, and I was like, oh, you're cutie, long hair, big butt, you know, he's hot. So I just like, oh, you look good. And then about within an hour, bing, and he was like, oh, you look good too. And then we just started talking, and about a week after that, we talked like every day from the first day we met on video chat. I was watching 90 Day Fiance. So I said, oh, you watch this show named 90 Day Fiance? He's like, yeah, I love that show. So I was like, oh, it would be funny if we own it one day. And literally, we didn't talk about it again until maybe, I think, six, seven, eight months later. I was grading papers. I was on the computer, grading papers because everything was online because of the pandemic. And so I'm grading papers. And I was like, ugh, let me take a break. And I was like, you know what? Let me see if I could Google and find how you can audition to be on 90 Day Fiancé. That'd probably be cool. And so what I did was I Googled it. I found an email address. And it's in. It said, you know, submit a summary or whatever. So I did. I submitted myself and Carlos's picture and a summary. And said, hey, if you want, you know, any additional information, feel free to call me with my number. And I didn't know if it was going to be a real email address or not, but I don't care. I'll say, I found out. Send. And I don't know, maybe a month later, a young lady emailed me for more information. I emailed her back, and then she called me the next day. And that was it. We was on.
Did they pay for you to go to Columbia?
No, I paid. No, they don't pay people to go. No. I was already going. By the time they caught up with me, because it's a process, you know. You got to do a video interview with one producer, then you talk to this producer, then you talk to that producer, then right. It's a whole process. Because I mean, they don't just have anybody on there; they are vetting you. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, which I didn't have a problem with, because I wasn't lying about a goddamn thing, so I didn't mind. So and they're trying to, I guess, see how comfortable you are with, because you're gonna have to do a lot of question answering throughout this whole process lot. So by the time they caught up with me, I already bought my ticket. I was going. I was just, the only reason why we hadn't met earlier is because of you. I couldn't travel. We couldn't travel internationally. And now I wasn't. Ain't no vaccine. Then when I finally got my vaccines, Colombia still didn't have their vaccine. So Carlos wasn't vaccinated. Then when he finally got vaccinated and I finally could travel, I bought my ticket. So I already had my ticket. I was going.
Right.
So they were just catching up with me.
You flew into Cartagena?
I sure did.
Oh, well,
no,
yeah,
not Cartagena. I went straight to Barranquilla. Yeah, yeah.
I went there in November. Amazing place.
Oh, yeah. I've been to Cartagena. We drove there. And Santa Marta.
How long is that drive from Barranquilla to?
Like within 2 hours. Like.
So how long were you? Because we're on episode 3 now of Love in Paradise. Is that right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Episode 3. So how long was the process with Discovery Plus and you and Carlos? Like how long was
I was filming for a couple of weeks.
Oh, so you were out there for a couple of weeks with the team, with the crew.
Mm-hmm. But they started filming out here before I even left.
Right, yeah.
Which is how you saw me in the studio with my friends. Mm-hmm. And they filmed with him too first out there.
How was that experience, though, being so vulnerable? So you're being vulnerable to the love of your life for all intents and purposes, but you're being vulnerable in front of, I mean, millions of people around the world. You know what I mean? Like how, and you know, you said a million times on the show that you are a love person, you're into love. So maybe that was easy for you, right?
You know, there were a couple of things I learned about myself during the process. The one was I wasn't as self or secure or self-confident as I in my body as I thought I was. I mean, I work out so much, you know, I try to take care of myself. But with the cameras on you, like everywhere you, like it's following you, it's there, you know, like it's in your face. And it's like, no matter what you do, I was more self-conscious about my body. Like, oh my God, like, no, I was covered up. You know, I didn't want to take my shirt off. And I was like, oh my God, I never knew I was this insecure, you know? And so I was like, that's something I need to work on. Two, I'm usually myself, it don't matter. Like, I can't even front. I can't fake if I want to. I can't. Even if I tried to be like, if I'm nervous, like if I'd have got overly emotional about one thing, whether it was good or bad, I'd have forgot the cameras were there. Like, if you know what I'm saying, if I laughed, I was happy about something, I'd be like, you know, and hollered. If I was angry, I would have cursed somebody out. I don't care who around, you know, because that's just how I am. So
well, there was one moment where I believe that you overreacted, and it was very, very like fucked up of me.
What part?
The alcohol part.
Please, you know what? Spare me. I want you to tell me how I overreacted. How did I overreact? Because when I look at the TV, I was so calm and loving in my response.
And I think that was probably more dangerous than you having the traditional, you know, Brooklyn response, right? The fact that you were calm kind of made it even worse because it was like, I felt like you didn't show like no real, like tangible emotion. And I think that it was very, very selfish of you to kind of overlook the gesture.
Really?
Because of what you, whatever you went through, whatever your childhood past traumas were, that you just completely saw through that and almost attacked someone who was trying to make an amazing traditional, anybody in any situation, that's just what people do. They celebrate with champagne. Mm-hmm. That's not foreign. Carlos didn't just make that up.
Mm-hmm.
That's just something that we just do mm-hmm. as a global culture, society. Mm-hmm. And I thought that you kind of went a little too hard on him about that.
Okay,
it was embarrassing. I was embarrassed for him.
Okay, so I have two reasons why I was so calm in that moment. The first one is because I know Carlos like very, very, very well. And if I would have reacted to him in a aggressive way, that whole scene would have been a whole nother scene, a violent one. It'd have been, so when it comes to Carlos, even when he deals with me, oftentimes we practice the utmost patience because we know that our aggressive demeanors can set the other one off and it'll all go left, you know. So that was the first reason. The second reason is because Carlos and I have been dating for a year and a half. And I mean, we talk every day. So we spend birthdays, together, celebrated birthdays over the phone together. We brought in the new year. Now, on the new year that we brought in, let me tell you, he is amazing. He did shit I didn't even know you could do. He got on somehow on Uber Eats and had delivered to my house lasagna because he wanted us to have the same exact meal for New Year's because we was bringing it. We actually have it recorded, the whole thing. We were on video chat. We were recording it. We were bringing in the New Year to get the countdown. And Columbia is 3 hours ahead of us in Los Angeles. So he had lasagna delivered to my house and everything. And he wanted me to drink champagne with him. And I refused. I said, mm-mm. I said, I never drink at all. And he was like, not even on special occasions? No, Carlos, I don't.
Oh, so he did that.
Right, again. There you go. Okay. So that's why people are like, you don't know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? People don't have time to explain all of these things on the TV show. We're not the only couple. You see what I'm saying? It's like people, oh. You don't never get full details. And then also, like, I know people do that. Like, hello, I have friends here that would they purposely love to try to, oh, you want to get Valentine's drunk because they know I never drank. Or we would go New Year's, birthdays. They'd be like, oh, just take a sip. No, I don't drink. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But the fact that I got there and he did not care, you know, or he felt like, yeah, I know all that happened in the past, but he's here now, so he's going to drink. Like, that was going to set me off. You know what I'm saying? But I was like, okay, I'm not going to respond in an aggressive way. I'm just going to really try to talk to him and be like, yeah, like, no instance.
Okay.
Do I ever drink, Carlos? And it doesn't matter that I flew here to meet you. I didn't drink on New Year's. I didn't drink on your birthday. I didn't drink on my birthday. You know what I'm saying? Like, I never drink, you know? So, yeah. So that's stuff that people don't know. Like, this not our first time. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Cause I was like,
yeah, like, oh, I carried on. Oh, like, no. I know that. People do that. You're right. You are right. People do that here all the time, you know? Like, oh, like, some people say, like, I've saw comments, and I can understand, too, and I think they are correct, when they said, well, you looked at the bottle when they watched the episode. They're like, oh, you looked at the bottle, and you saw, and you asked him if it was real. He said, yeah, and you drank it anyway. That did happen, but if without the context of I've been talking to this guy for a year and a half, we so close and we've already been through this, he joking. You know what I'm saying? I trust him. When you trust somebody completely and totally, you're not double checking behind the ass. You see what I'm saying? Right. You're like, all right. You're like, oh, he just joking. He know better. You know what I'm saying? Until I drank it and I felt the burn down. Like, for somebody who never drank, probably the lightest drink is I'm going to feel it. You know, I'm going to know something is different than usual. So when I drank, I only had one swallow, and I felt it burning as it was going down. I felt it up in my, I felt it burning. I was like, is that real? You know? So, wow. Yeah, that was the reason for my response, you know, and the reason for the way I responded, because I didn't want to respond in an aggressive way. I just wanted to communicate to him, you know.
But you had I hope you had an off-camera chat with him about that, right?
Yes, we did. He actually told me now, and this is true. This is something I didn't believe at first, but I realize it's very true. Is that I often take for granted that he fully and truly understands what I'm communicating to him because he speaks English to me so well, but that is not his first language. So we get in such deep conversations that sometimes he doesn't know. He's like, "What is that? What do you mean?" You know, so he didn't fully understand that I truly do not drink. There are no exceptions. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, it was just a combination of the two things. But yeah, he knows now.
We're only 3 episodes in of Love in Paradise. So we can't reveal too much or, you know, give too much away. But what I was really curious about was why would you enter in a relationship with someone that you are not compatible with sexually? That was
this is a deep answer, okay, because it's something that I have been struggling with before I even met Carlos. And what I've been struggling with is okay, so yes, I'm a top, right? And
what's a top?
Which means I primarily penetrate, and okay. I get penetrated, like, I, you know, so I guess for all intents and purposes I will be the man in a relationship, so to speak. A man, in as far as heterosexual terms.
Okay.
That's what I mean. You know what I'm getting at. Like, so at any rate, But what I tend to find, at least dating here in Los Angeles, and in my experience, is every time I date a bottom, they are men, but they want you to treat them like they're women. They want to be, you got to pay for everything, you want to court them, they act like they, and I'm like, excuse me, you're a grown man, you know. And then also, I miss oftentimes the assertiveness and of a man, you know what I'm saying? So I don't really get that from, at least from my experience, the bottoms that I meet, if they are assertive, is in a very bitchy way. So
what's a bottom?
A bottom is usually a guy or a person that prefers to be penetrated all the time.
So in gay relationships, gay sexual relationships, there's some gender or like role, like?
As far as sexual preferences, like, and how they prefer to have sex. So there are people that are versatile that prefer to.
No, I mean like.
I'm sorry.
You said that top is a man, oh, and then the bottom is a.
Well, no. I was saying just for a reference point for people who don't understand what a top is, imagine a heterosexual relationship, I would be the man, the one fucking. If I was a man and a girl, I'd be the one fucking the girl. You understand what I'm saying? That is what I was saying, is the man. But no, there's no, both bottom can be a man, he's a man, I'm a man, we all, you know. So I only use that as an analogy to help people, right, who not understand what a top is exactly.
What was the biggest takeaway from the experience? Well, is it even safe for me to ask you that? Because the show's not over yet, right? You're definitely going to have to come back after the show's over, do an after show.
Okay.
But just, you know, we don't want to give then away too much.
Then I could really be free. And I would get Carlos on the line so he could.
Carlos should be here.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't know.
Would you do that again, though? Would you let the cameras follow you again? Like that?
Yeah, I would. You know, I have fun. This stuff is, to me, this stuff is kind of fun. And also, I mean, honestly speaking, it's an opportunity to share. It was fun to me.
Have your mom watch it?
Yes. She didn't really say anything, though.
What about your brother?
She didn't say anything to me. Actually, I'm almost certain he has seen it because my cousins text me. My cousins have texted me and been like, hey, I just saw a commercial. That's you? You know, so I'm almost certain that my mother seen it. I know. And then my brother actually called me the other day, but I missed his call. So I'm sure I don't know what he has to say, but I'm sure it's not anything negative. What are you going to say?
How old is your brother?
He is 30-something. Yeah. Okay.
And your music, besides what we saw on episode one, is more of the Valentine EP featured on the show at all?
Yes, actually. Popular and Adore You is both featured on the show.
And when does the show air?
Every Friday on Discovery Plus. So I think literally when it hits 12:01 or 1 o'clock in the morning on Friday morning, the episode is available. How do I know that? Because I literally am up watching it. Or Carlos is texting me, yo, did you see the show? You know, it's out now because he's like 3 hours ahead.
What should our listeners do ASAP?
You should follow me. I'm on all social media platforms at VSENTV. At VSENTV. You can also see me every Friday on Discovery Plus, 90 Day Fiancé, Love in Paradise. So check me out. You can also check out my EP. It's out now on all streaming platforms. You can watch the music video for Popular. It's on YouTube. Just Google Dewan Valentine, Popular. Dewan Valentine, D-E-J-U-A-N, Dewan and Valentine, V-A-L-E-N-T-I-N-E. So... In Popular, I rapped and I said VALENTINE. And I was about to do the same thing just now when I spelled out my name. I had to catch myself.
That would have been dope.
Oh, my Lord.
You know what that reminded me of? METH.
That's the purpose.
Good
look at you. Yo, let me tell you, if you listen to the song, like at the very beginning of the song, I say, fresh from the barbershop, a fly from the beauty salon. Everybody out here in the club looking real fine. And Popular girls got. What did you hear in that at the very beginning? That's the only thing most people catch in the very beginning. Fresh from the barbershop, a fly from the beauty salon. Everybody out. Will Smith.
Summertime.
Yes.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.